Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here. What?
Microphone problem.
What's up and welcome inside Studio 34 right here in Midtown Manhattan. Fantasy Sports Today special edition. We got the Red Felt Breaks. Greg Bonin. Sharon, I didn't get your last name. I'm sorry.
Cho.
You got to talk to the microphone.
Sharon Cho.
There you go right there. So welcome inside Studio 34. Today we have this box of baseball cards that we're going to get into a little bit later on in the program. I'll let Greg break that down and explain that a little bit later on. But today is a celebration, as you can tell. The GOAT, my guy, LeBron James, NBA Finals. Greg, are you the Boston Celtics or not?
Oh, well, as anyone who watched last week knows, I lost a bet to Corey, and the bet was lunch. So I brought us some lunch today.
Good job.
You know.
I like your man of your word. You feel what I'm saying, Sharon? Yep. He wasn't here last week.
Here's your corned beef sandwich.
Corned beef sandwich right here.
Sharon, since you're a LeBron guy, we got you a corned beef sandwich.
This is wonderful. Stand-up guy, Greg. Stand-up guy, you know what I mean? I didn't want to have to hunt him down for the break. Yeah.
And since I'm an MJ guy, I got myself a sandwich.
All right, there you go.
I got some pickles, too, if you want.
I love pickles, so we'll get that there. You want to give a shout-out to where you got it from or no?
Yeah, I got it from Sarge's on 3rd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Great sandwich.
I never had it. It was about 2 weeks ago I had my first one. Craig Carton was like, you got to try this from Sarge's. And it was excellent. It was a good job. So
they do a great sandwich.
They do a great sandwich. So definitely we're going to enjoy our lunch right here today from Science Studio 34. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Got the immaculate game one last night. Also got this situation with the Philadelphia 76ers and Jerry Colangelo. Earlier this week in the NFL, you had some more news with the national anthem. A problem that the NFL can't seem to get away from, a story that keeps rehashing itself. And I don't know if you are two or Kanye West people. His album came out today. It's getting rave reviews.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm, it really is. Are you a Kanye guy?
I like Kanye, but not, you know.
Not enough to stream on day one?
No. Sharon, I wasn't aware anyway.
Okay, Sharon, you stream on day one?
No.
All right, so there you go.
I like to hear the reviews first, uh-huh, and then, you know. But I heard it's really good.
All right, so it's interesting stuff. I'll get into that probably when I get home. That'll be one of my weekend activities. Before we get to game one and how great that was, game seven, Boston, Cleveland. Cleveland wins the last two games. They go on to win the series. Greg, the GOAT, LeBron James, El GOAT, went into TD Bank where the Boston Celtics were undefeated and did what GOATs do. He got the W.
He also didn't get a lot of fouls called on him.
Oh, stop.
Was it Terry Rozier that had the slam where he broke his hand blocking it from behind?
Terry Rozier was 0 for 10 in that game.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the breakaway dunk where LeBron literally, you know, took a hammer and smashed his hand, but he couldn't get number 5 called. You know, the refs would be fined if LeBron got called number 5, or how about when he hooked Tatum? But to go back to it, Brad Stevens did not coach a good game, because if LeBron with 4 fouls, you should be going at him at all costs.
No, I agree with you on that.
They didn't use Al Horford. Poorly coached game. LeBron won. He deserved it.
But throughout the course of the playoffs, we kept hearing how great of a coach Brad Stevens was.
He was. He melted in that second half. He melted in that second half.
Sharon, what did you think about Game 7 and what LeBron did going back-to-back, going to Cleveland and getting the W, then coming back home and getting that – I mean, going up to TD Bank and getting that W? Because you're a LeBron guy, right?
Yes, I am. Big LeBron guy. Almost second to Michael, but
– yeah.
Well, that first, to answer that Rozier thing, I think he touched the ball first, so it's a clean block in my opinion.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't care if you break your hand, but if he touched the ball –
He didn't touch the ball first. He did,
if you watch the video. Okay, well –
whatever.
We agree to differ.
The only good thing about playing Golden State is they can't favor one side with the calls.
You agree with, you think that for real, huh?
I think LeBron gets the calls. Last night he did on that one, the one thing at the end of the game, but they want the series to go longer. They want the series to go longer. They don't want it to be a short series because they make more money if it goes to game 5, 6, and 7.
Obviously, you get the TV money, ABC. Last night was great. Excellent last night. Now, coming into it, the rub was how much the Cleveland Cavaliers were underdogs by. This was the biggest underdog since the Iverson, Tyronn Lue step-over game.
Yep.
And it probably was the best game one since that game one. And the NBA, listen, for everybody that says they're getting tired of Cavs Warriors, what we saw last night in game one was absolutely phenomenal. And this is why I don't mind Cavs Warriors, because, listen, the rosters, they may not be equal, But these two teams compete. Sharon, what do you think of, first of all, the first half of game one, Steph Curry hits that shot going into the break, and it looks like we're in for a good one.
Well, that was the first hint of JR. To me, that was, I was a little upset at JR at that play, because the first 5 minutes he played well. He was passing, he was penetrating, and then he just decided to not stay in front of Curry, started to stay to get the steal, and then didn't happen.
And well, you all, in that situation, you know to stay in front of Steph Curry because he has that range, yep. And you knew.
Yep.
When he got the ball, I was like, this is going
in. You know it was going in.
Yeah, you knew it was going in.
What was he
going
to do after he steals the ball? There's not enough time to throw up a shot. I mean,
it's a poor play by J.R. Smith at that point.
Smart play.
I actually thought the game was going to be a blowout after that. After they came back from down 11 and Steph hits that shot, I thought it was game over, boom. I really did.
But the answer for that is LeBron. I think he carried. So.
And we saw in the Houston series, Golden State, the Dubs, with that classic third quarter push. When they hit that third quarter push in game one, LeBron hit a couple big threes, and he settled that down. His team got back into the game. And at that point, I was like, you know what? Not only is this going to be a game, this is going to be a series.
Yep.
I think after what happened at the end of the game, it's going to be even shorter. I'm calling four. Deflated. Cleveland loses all his steam. J.R. Smith's going to be in his head. The rest of the guys, everyone's going to try to overcompensate. If he doesn't do that, even if it goes to overtime, completely different story. But because of that and how Golden State just lit it up in overtime.
Well, in overtime, you're playing with house money. When you're the home team and
on playoff. Yeah, but win by 10, 8 because of before that Livingston.
Yeah.
You know, nonsense. But what I want to know is, why doesn't Steve Kerr play Sean Livingston more? Against other teams he plays more, why does he pay him less versus the Cavs?
Because of the rotations and the matchup is not as good for Sean Livingston. I think Sean Livingston is a great player.
But when he plays, he's electric and it helps the team. I don't get it, but I'm not an NBA coach, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's kind of like a relief pitcher is always going to be a relief pitcher.
I'm not talking about him starting, but I think you want to get him in the game more than they're getting him in the game.
Yeah, I can see that, but I trust Steve Kerr and his rotation. Steve Kerr, one of the top coaches in the NBA. Now let's get down to the good stuff. Sharon, I'll start with you. Was that a block or a charge?
I think it's a block, but I don't think they should have reviewed it.
I agree. I don't think they should have reviewed
it. I don't think they could change the call.
What do you think, Greg?
It was definitely a block. I mean, I didn't know about the rule.
Yeah.
But knowing the rule, of course you gotta.
Do you review it and change it?
Well, yeah, if you're gonna review it, you have to change it. It's like in a football game with the 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Heath Miller. Heath Miller. That Need I say more?
Des Bryant.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I'm just saying.
But it depends what are you reviewing. If you're going in there to review is his foot is on the line, that's what you're looking at. You're not there to change all the plays.
Yeah.
So to me, they're supposed to go in there to look at if his foot was on the line, not to change the call.
No, but the rule says you can look at it all.
So it depends on the call, too, they said.
Once you go back in there and review it, if you do see it. So basically what happened was we had Tim Donaghy on with Carton and Friends this morning. This is how he broke it down. In that situation like that, when one referee calls a charge, the other referee calls a block, it should be a personal foul on both players, not a team foul, and it should be a jump ball.
Okay.
That's what the rule is.
That's a good rule then. But either that be
rule,
totally
but
changed.
Is that the rule
rule
in the last 2 minutes where it can't be reviewed?
Yeah, that is the rule in the last 2 minutes. Now the review part of it, they just put that into the rule books last year. But no, we had him on the program today.
Was Tim in the league since then, or has Tim been out of the league?
Well, Tim Donaghy?
Yeah.
Well, he's.
I'm saying it, sir. You know, facetiously. So the rules have changed since Tim was a referee. So
yes.
He may not be as in tune with that nuance, that wrinkle that came up last night.
It's funny you mentioned that. He prefaced it by saying, after the game last night, he went in and read it in the rule book. And it's on page 47 of the rule book.
Oh.
He even said what page of the rule book is on. I don't have the rule book. But I just know that we saw a great contest last night. I think we're in line for a good series. I do have the Cleveland Cavaliers winning this series in 7 games. When it comes to J.R. Smith and what happened with J.R. Smith, first of all, J.R. Smith bails Kevin Durant out. Kevin Durant does not box out on that play.
Kevin Durant
was horrible last night.
He played really bad.
Yeah.
But that's why I thought we could have stalled that game because of how Kevin Durant played. So.
Well, before we get into everything else, you're calling Cleveland in 7?
Cleveland in 7.
You got to give me a chance to win my lunch back. You want to do lunch? You want to do something else?
So what if they win it in 6?
Cleveland winning.
Cleveland winning
the
series. I called this a lot. I called this in, back in January.
Different story back in January than today.
The team was terrible back in January. Yep. But what I said was, this is LeVon.
When's
this
Iguodala season coming back?
Is LeBron, he is a bone bruise. He may not come back.
Yeah, they said he might not be.
You don't think this is going to be, if they need him, Willis Reed moment? speaking of Willis Reed moment, why didn't Chris Paul play? Was it that bad?
The hamstring? Listen.
He could have been out by like 3 to 4 weeks if it was in the playoff.
Okay. I'm just
hamstring is a serious issue.
I know it's a serious issue. I'm just saying, like, you know, when it's winner go home, I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I don't think you can, like, shoot somebody up and get them through the hamstring injury. But here's the thing with Chris Paul. First of all, people say, oh, well, if Chris Paul was there in game 7, the Rockets would have won. What has Chris Paul ever won?
Chris Paul's the unluckiest playoff basketball player in the history of basketball.
And then Chris Paul, it's not like he doesn't struggle with injuries. When you get when you get players on your team that are not durable, when they get hurt, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You want to talk about bad officiating in that game 7. James Harden got robbed twice.
Yep.
That first three-pointer, that first three-pointer that they didn't three-pointer they said he wasn't shooting, and then they got the ball and it got stolen, that 6-point swing. No.
There was another call. I think it was 9 points.
And then the 4-point play potential to say he hadn't been shooting yet? Come on.
He was shooting there.
Come on.
They were 0-for-27. Yeah, they went on an 0-for-27. You can't blame referees when you go 0-for-27.
Can I finish my point?
Go ahead.
It killed that first one, that 6-point swing is a momentum shift.
No doubt.
And then the other one, again, momentum. It's like a deflate. They hit that three. He hit the three. That breaks the 0-for-27 streak if you make the right call.
And
that
was
the 0-for-27 streak.
Who was hot that game? Clay. And Clay could have. Clay's the one that fouled him in that 3-point play. And so he could have been sat down.
Well, they still called the foul. And that was another bad coaching by D'Antoni. Why aren't you going at Clay? Why aren't you? These guys have 4 fouls. You go against them.
But you got to understand that Clay is not Steph. Clay is a lockdown defender with ice water in his veins.
Okay.
I would rather. I think Clay.
Try it. When you're 0-for-27 from three, try it. Get him to pick up that fifth foul, because when he picks up that fifth foul, he's going to be even more cautious.
And no doubt about that. But I said this after the game, especially after game 6 and 7 of the Western Conference Finals. I think Clay Thompson's a better player than James Harden.
He doesn't have a penetrating game, I think.
Does he need one?
If you're the best player in the team, I think you need to know how to penetrate and then dish out. And I think he's a spot shooter to me.
I think Clay's,
I think he's perfect for Cleveland, but.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. But here's what I want your opinion on. Because I'll go, who do you blame at the end of the game? Is it all on JR?
It's not all on JR at the end of the game. First, it should be. Ty Lue has that situational basketball. He has to keep in the player's head. But these are grown men playing in the finals for the fourth year in a row.
Okay.
They shouldn't know that. You could say the timeout thing. Like I said, he got Durant off the hook. J.R. Smith was in a tough spot, but George Hill missed the free throw.
Yeah, well,
it started with that. So.
I personally blame J.R. You cannot take the blame from. But you know who I blame?
Who?
LeBron. He's the floor general, the quarterback. After he hits that first shot, you should be huddling at the line, saying, oh, guys, this is what we're doing. It's a tie game. It's road
court. They took the first shot before the timeout. They took the first shot
before
and then the
timeout. He shoots the second shot.
Well, you came out of the timeout. Usually that's the coach job.
Okay, but it's whatever. They should have, regardless, even after the first shot, they should be knowing what they're doing.
Greg, you just want to blame LeBron James.
Yeah, I think it is.
I didn't say it's his fault, but I blame LeBron James for not doing his job as the captain, the floor general. And let's be honest, who coaches that team, LeBron or Ty Lue?
I think we got to give Ty Lue some credit, but LeBron is the man.
LeBron is coach, GM, and superstar. Nothing happens without LeBron's approval.
Sharon.
But this is, he
had a 51-point triple-double, and Greg.
This is common sense stuff. You expect a professional basketball player to know that.
51-point triple-double.
I thought he only had 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He had a triple-double?
I thought it was,
No, not a triple-double.
Oh, it wasn't a triple-double, my bad. 51-8.
No, my point is, everyone should know, if we miss the shot, call timeout, unless you have that. They should know that, and it's his job to let everyone know it on the court.
You remember
Chris Webber's timeout?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
So do I. So do I. But I'm just saying, in these tight situations, in these important games, you make sure. Like, whatever JR knew, he didn't know, because you see him mouth to LeBron before the... He thought they were up, and then later he changed his tune.
It was embarrassing.
But the bottom line is, the team needs to... Everyone needs to know what to do. He misses the shot, you get the rebound, timeout, immediately. Someone should be called. They should know to call timeout if JR didn't put it up.
In that situation, you got to understand, you should tell the referee before that the play happens. We're going to take a timeout here. Ty Lue, listen, it's a lot of different ways you can look at how that exchange ended last night, but the bottom line of the matter is J.R. Smith has to do better.
Yeah.
He has to.
100%. 100%, but the guys still need to have a game plan. That's like saying, it's like fourth and, you know, whatever, the last play of the game for the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady goes, just guys do whatever you want. I'll find whoever's open.
It's a little different basketball.
I completely disagree with you. You got to know what you're doing in that situation.
You're a professional. You need to know the basic. What's the score? When you come out of the game, when you play, or says
and
a coach,
to the mic.
You got to come in and know, like, okay, you know every situation you need to know as a professional player. I'm not talking about the next play, but I'm talking about you need to know the score. You need to know the time. Those are the
but you need to know what
common
to do.
Sense stuff.
Remember when Nomad Bradshaw, you know, he should have stopped on the one?
Yeah.
You have to know what to do in that situation.
That's a little harder play than this.
I completely disagree. This is an easier play. Nomad Bradshaw, you can go back and forth. Are you going to get it in? Your tie game one shot if we're going to break.
Yeah. So, all right. So, when we get back, we'll come back. We'll touch some more on game one of the NBA Finals. Not to mention, got to break into this card, see what we got, some goodies for you right here. It is the Red Felt Break right here, FST on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You got to talk into you can't. You got to talk into the mic. Move the mic.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Moe's.
It never gets old.
All right, everyone. Two truths, one lie.
I was gonna be on The Real World. I play the oboe, and I saved a kid's life.
You definitely never saved a kid's life.
I'm serious. Last summer, I donated bone marrow to a kid who had leukemia.
Saving a life. The truth is, it's easier than you think. Learn how at DKMS.org.
Who knew we were living with a hero?
A hero who plays the oboe.
Are you, or someone you love, one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? There is no known cure, but you have the power to help change that by participating in a clinical trial. The Michael J. Fox Foundation will help get you started. Visit michaeljfox.org/participant pack to download the new Parkinson's Trial Participant Pack. It's free and available right now. That's michaeljfox.org/participant pack. Visit today.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
I'm Corey, the fantasy executive. Hope you all are having a good Friday. Good weekend coming up. Good game one last night. All right, Greg, let's get into it. The action after we get past the JR play. Warriors now playing with house money.
Yep.
They blitz them in the overtime. And then we get the join back and forth between Steph, Klay, and Bron, which they're competitors. That's going to happen. But my man Draymond Green, you see him mouthing after Tristan Thompson gets the flagrant and gets thrown out. You see Draymond mouthing Tristan Kardashian. Obviously, Tristan did not like that. He comes to Draymond Green. Kevin Love steps onto the court. Tristan and Draymond mix it up a little bit. What happens next? I got to get Greg's mic up. There you go.
Yeah, and you're not hearing me?
I got you now.
I don't think there should be any suspensions, and certainly not on Draymond.
Yeah.
You know, he's trash talking.
That's
you
what
know,
he does.
I'm going to sidestep away with basketball a second. You know, they were talking about with these football players and some of these questionable questions they had in interviews. You're playing professional sports. You're a running back. You don't think they're going to be trying to get into your head?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to me, this is the same thing, you know? It's no different than Steph. It's no different than Steph or Chris Paul doing.
Yeah, the shimmy.
It's no different than that, you know.
But here's the thing, though. You know, this is what Draymond's about. Yep. Also, you talking about Sean Livingston. Draymond was trying to swing. Sean Livingston, you couldn't see it. A lot of people didn't see it. He grabbed his arm. Draymond was going to be in big trouble.
Well, if he did that, that's a different story. But if anyone, I mean, Tristan did. You
Tristan
know
got ejected last
he got
night.
Ejected as he should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walk away. You know, like. He knew he was getting into his head.
No, that's
what Draymond's great at. He gets into your head because he's not getting. They're not suspending these guys for this.
No, they can't leave.
They can't with this series.
Yeah,
this lopsided series as it looks on paper.
Yeah.
You can't suspend Tristan, Draymond Green. They can play without if they had to for a game.
Yeah.
You
they
know?
Played without Durant last night.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. I still get 21 points though.
No,
so.
He did have 21 points, but. You
played
saw
really
some.
Bad.
He looked like he didn't yep. want any parts of the basketball mm-hmm. at times. What do you think of the final few seconds when it got testy, Sharon?
Well, I don't think Cleveland was in it after that. So first, it's so hard to overcome what just happened, and I feel like even LeBron was not there yet. I don't think he could overcome that. He worked so hard for it, and then to put another 5 minutes is just a lot. I think
when it came to. Suspensions. Mm-hmm. Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love are stepping on the court. I don't think Draymond gets anything.
I don't think that's the scary part because according to the rule book, they could get suspended. So my only issue is hopefully they ignore it, but I don't think.
Why
I don't
could
know.
Draymond get suspended?
Not Draymond.
Oh, Tristan and Love.
Tristan and Love.
Yeah, they could.
But, yeah, they could.
If they don't suspend them,
because they did
them,
leave.
If they don't suspend them for whatever, then you cannot suspend anyone on Golden State unless Draymond gets the seventh.
There's no taunting rule, right, in the NBA?
I don't know.
There is
no
after a shot.
Well,
after a shot,
they didn't call one after Jason Tatum threw it on LeBron. He was clearly
true,
taunting
yeah.
him with that play right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but what Draymond did was a little bit more obvious taunting, though.
Yeah.
He was doing it the last 2 minutes.
He did it
to LeBron. He did it to almost everybody.
He's a tough dude.
Yeah, but he wants to get into your head.
That's
psychological war.
He already knows that they won.
It has nothing to do with last night. It has to do with the series.
Let me ask you this. We had a caller this morning ask if they thought that Draymond Draymond handled playing in the 80s and the 90s with the Bad Boy Pistons and those Knicks teams. I think Draymond would have fit in with no problem in that kind of basketball.
Bill Laimbeer would have been Dennis Rodman.
He would have been missing some teeth, but
oh, it would have been great.
Yeah, he would have been perfect.
Come on, yeah, scrappy.
I don't think he would have been that great in a mediocre team or in any other team. He's perfect for that team because he's surrounded by great players.
It's interesting. Chris Webber said the same thing that. On any other team, Draymond Green would not have been an all-star. I disagree. Draymond Green is
maybe an all-star, but not the way
Michigan State.
The Michigan State thing.
Listen, C-Webb, I love C-Webb. Love C-Webb, but you got to take it with a grain of salt. I disagree about that completely.
Yeah.
I think C-Webb is a better player. So.
But one has nothing to do with the other, though. C-Webb was definitely a better player.
Try to put Draymond and the Cavaliers right now and take LeBron out. Let's see what happens.
But that's not what the point.
Yeah.
That's not the point he was making. That's not the point he was making.
No,
I know, but
that's what
no one's arguing any of that. That's
no. That Draymond is overhyped. I think. I don't think he's as good of a player.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You know, the year Steph won a unanimous MVP, the runner-up should have been Draymond Green. That's how
should've
amazing
been.
Season
but,
Draymond Green had
yeah,
that year.
But because of the players around him, though.
But look at the game he played last night.
You're looking at the wrong way.
Did you see how he's shooting threes?
Okay, that's different.
He hit some big ones in the second half. He really did.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think because of what Draymond does, it opens up these other guys.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
They're complimentary. It's not like, Draymond's a clear-cut beneficiary of Steph, all these guys where he would be nothing without them.
He's open too because there's four other options. He's basically the fourth guy.
Score a lot. It's everything else he does that makes him the player.
But he's the fourth guy they're guarding. I mean, he's not a first two problem in the team. So who's going to be guarding you?
Can we get away from game one and get into the Colangelo thing right quick before I say this to Greg? In the post-game press conference last night, Steve Kerr said, LeBron James is playing at a level that he's never seen anyone play before. You know Steve Kerr has a teammate named Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had a front row seat for that.
Well, he also never got along with him.
I never heard that.
There were rumors that he got into a fight with him before. You know, yeah. These are legends.
Like the Knicks getting the envelope picked when David Stern pulled it out to get Patrick Ewing because the league couldn't afford to have New York be that bad at that time. And
well, can they do it again?
They did it for the Lakers.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, number two picks in a row, but that's another story for another day.
What do you think about Kerr's comments, though?
What I think about Kerr's comments, one has nothing to do with him being a better player. He's playing at a level no one's ever played at. I will give him that. I will give him that. That goes without saying.
Your thing against LeBron James.
Yeah, I know.
Really,
right?
Listen, LeBron.
But that statement you just said kind of tells.
We're talking about right now. We're not talking about. I'm talking about career-wise. I'm not talking in the moment. He'll never be Michael. He will never be Michael.
Listen,
there's only one thing LeBron can do that would put him, in my mind, in that consideration.
Win this series?
No.
Oh, no way. If he wins this series, I think he's past Michael.
Okay, so. I'll give you that. But if he doesn't win this series, if he goes and joins another All-Star team, he's like ninth on the list.
I feel you.
He's ninth on the list.
Wow.
There's only one thing he can do.
So I have their opinions.
He can go to New York, he can go to another team and resurrect an awful franchise.
Okay.
Take a team that's terrible and make him, you know, he doesn't have to win with them, but he gets them to the finals or close.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
what do you call this Cleveland team?
This Cleveland.
The Knicks is better than this Cleveland team without him, I think.
This Cleveland team, he made the team. You can't. He made the team. He pulled the strings. Get me this guy. Get rid of this guy. Pay JR. Pay Tristan. No one have paid them half that.
You're right.
This is all on LeBron. So he does not get a pass for that because this is what he wanted. So you make your bed, you lie in it.
But if he goes to New York or LA, he's making that team too.
LA does not count because LA has all these top picks. I'm talking like a Memphis. I'm talking about like Atlanta. These bad teams that have no stars. The Knicks he can come to because Porzingis is out. Mm-hmm. He's hurt, but I'm just saying, I'm using it as an example. Because they were talking about this on the radio the other day and wanted to get back to the Colangelo's. What's he going to do?
And this is where the natural transition is. This is a team that is trying to be a heavy player. Some say they're favored in the LeBron James sweepstakes. I think LBJ stays in Cleveland.
Him going to Philadelphia would be the worst decision Philadelphia can make. Ben Simmons needs the ball.
But Ben Simmons is not LeBron James.
No, but you want to develop Ben Simmons. Simmons, how old is Ben Simmons? Is he 21 yet?
I think he's 20.
Exactly my point. LeBron's how old? 33, be 34?
Yeah.
You don't need LeBron hindering Ben Simmons' growth.
But you trade that for a championship. You do.
I think they can get there without it. I think they'll get there without it. I think you go out and sign someone like a shooting guard.
Kawhi Leonard,
someone like that. You do not need LeBron. Just like why LeBron shouldn't go to the Rockets.
No, that's ridiculous.
Then he becomes a spot shooter, a jump shooter.
Yeah.
These guys need the ball. These guys, Chris Paul and Harden need the ball. They're better players with the ball. Ben Simmons, he needs the ball to facilitate. You don't hinder that growth.
Sharon, let me ask you this. What do you think with this LeBron situation out there, Sixers seem to be in position. We're going to open up the card soon. Sixers seem to be in position. Do you think you got to fire Brian Colangelo?
I'm kind of a little biased in that. I think I would, but he did a good job.
He's a genius.
If you're just counting the job without whatever else he's going on right now, but I think he's warranted firing. But
what do you think?
I don't know what to think because like, if he did it, yes. But like, the thing that I don't get was why when he's trying to trade Okafor. Is he talking shit to lower the value?
I know, that makes no sense.
That's why I think it's like someone trying to set him up.
So you think it's a Marion Barry thing?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. This is on the surface. People are telling you this. They're showing that. It's, you know, those like smoking gums come out first. But I want to get to the bottom of it before I make a decision. I don't want to make a rash decision. You got to, like Sharon said, he built this team great. You know, like, granted, I don't think they should have traded the one pick for the three pick, then give up that extra pick, because I think you would have gotten Fultz at three if you Boston, the
Jason
way things
Tatum,
are going.
Yeah, it was the pick.
And if you got Tatum, you'd be happier as a pig and shit.
Yep. But,
so you got to give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
It's not like Phil Jackson in New York.
Yeah.
Who
Ruined it.
So just an excuse. So if he did it, a guy will never work again. Again, not even just basketball.
He's a brilliant NBA mind. You gotta hire him again.
They were talking about who, if he actually did this, who's gonna want to come and play on a team he's involved with?
I understand what you're saying, and that's the thing that hurts a lot in this situation. You lose the trust in the organization. But my thing is, if you got beef with a player, instead of tweeting to him, just go tell him.
Exactly. Something's not right.
There's something going on. He wants to push them, you know, or I don't know.
Do you own any burner accounts?
Do I own any burner accounts? No.
Well, Kevin Durant did.
Yes, Kevin Durant owns a burner account.
My God, he was caught. That was embarrassing.
Remember Roger?
That's Kevin Durant.
I think it was a situation last year with Roger Goodell's wife. They found out that she was tweeting at Pro Football Talk and at the Union and at DeMaurice Smith and stuff like that. And it was a question that was somebody asked Florio from Pro Football Talk this week. Set the over under of NFL executives that have burner accounts. He set it at 31.5.
Wow.
It's a thing.
Oh, I think NFL, everyone does.
Yeah.
I think a lot of basketball players
do. I'm sure a lot of these, you know what? I'm sure a lot of these guys do too.
Yeah.
Because their life's in the public eye. But I don't think it's necessarily for sports. I think it's for nefarious activities that, you know, people are afraid to get in trouble for. And they're probably burning those burners after this whole Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Oh, no.
You know, you want to be peeping young, you know, girls in bikinis and you're a GM. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Anthony Weiner, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Anthony Weiner. Tough
one. That's totally Weiner, another story.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, like the best comedic writers couldn't come up with that if they tried.
No. That's excellent.
Like, you know.
He was an original meat mail sender, Weiner. Like, he just snap, text, you know what I'm saying? Just get it right
on Draymond did that, too.
Oh, yeah, Draymond did. That was during the season. During the season, last season, Draymond, he meant to send it as a private message, but he added it to his Snapchat story. I'm so glad I don't follow Draymond Green on Snapchat.
I don't follow him.
That's not what I wanted to wake up to, is open up my Snapchat and see Draymond
Green's
jump.
Oh, it was
gone
right away, though.
He got rid of it quickly.
Right away.
Those live forever, though.
I know.
You know, I think let's get started. We can talk while we open it, because this isn't a ton to talk about.
Whatever you want to do, you're in charge.
So, yeah, we got a 2013 Bowman draft picks and prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable year. Unbelievable product. We got three of the biggest names. We got the biggest name in the card industry besides Shohei Ohtani. We got Aaron Judge's first autograph.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have one. I'll show you. We have it right here. If you could zoom in on it. So this is what we're looking for. It's Aaron Judge's first auto. How much is this going for right now?
It's like around $1,500.
$1,500. And then besides him, you know, the hottest rookie in the National League right now, Austin Meadows.
No, that's not Austin.
That's Clint Frazier. Excuse me. Austin Meadows.
Yep.
How much is this going for right now?
That's only like $300-$400.
$300-$400. But if he wins Rookie
climbing.
Of the Year,
oh,
it's going to
yeah.
start climbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clint Frazier.
Is he going to be traded?
I think he's going to be traded for pitching. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you.
I can see that.
You know, the Yankees have I'm tongue-tied. They have too many outfielders for too many positions.
Okay.
So he makes the most sense because you're not trading Stanton. You're not trading Judge. And the other guy's contract. So he'll bring the most value. And they need pitching. So this is what we're looking for. And
so you'll be satisfied with any one of those?
I'll be satisfied with any one of those. I mean, there's a lot of other players, but, you know.
I was good luck for you last week. Remember when we got the, what did we get last week? The duel with the Darius Geis?
We got the Darius Geis and the DJ Chalk.
Yeah. That was me. I did that. That was the luck.
So we'll open and let's get back to the basketball conversation because.
You open up these cards, and it's
Bowman,
right?
Let's open up a couple packs. Yeah, this is Bowman.
So this is like you don't have a specific go-to brand, or you just...
It's a very good question. For baseball, Bowman is the
Bowman
go-to.
Is
and Sharon can talk more about this.
Bowman basically is all about rookie. Not a lot of stars. It's about prospecting.
Okay.
So a lot of guys, you want to get them 2-3 years before they're even good.
Okay.
So it's kind of like fantasy baseball. You want to stack those guys that are like... good. You don't want to get them too late because you'll be paying high.
All right, cool. So the Dynasty. So people in Dynasty League and stuff like
that.
This
is a great product for this. Is the card market is how I know the minor leaguers for my leagues, because if a guy's hot and he's not on anyone else's radar, I know, you know, he could be in single A, so I know to keep watching out for him.
Okay.
You know, like in the new product, there's a guy, Christian Pache. Is that how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. Hot young Braves outfielder. No one's talking about him in fantasy because what's he? Is he in single A?
He's in single. Rookie ball, actually.
Mm-hmm. Rookie ball. So, I mean, but these are guys you want to start watching because the cards are moving up in value. So what's nice about this product is you get two chrome cards.
Per pack?
Per pack.
Okay.
In this pack, we got Jared Kozarts and Xander Bogarts.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad right there.
But the key to this pack was we got Clint Frazier's first card.
Nice.
It's a base card. Unfortunately, it's paper, not chrome, but it's still.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want is basically the one that says first card.
All right.
But this year was the only year that Bowman.
Final minute of this segment, Greg.
This is the first year. This is the only year that I can recall where Bowman didn't actually put it on the cards.
Yep, you're right.
Which makes it a little troublesome.
Yep.
So why does that make it troublesome? I actually have to get out the break.
Because you don't know if it's their first card or not. When it says first Bowman card and it's that autograph, that's the most valuable one.
Okay.
If you're not really into collecting, you wouldn't know. That's like the first clue. You know, that's the collectible card. But if it's the sign that's not there, you wouldn't know.
So now, do you think that they're doing this? I ask you the question when we come back on the other side, getting ready to head out the break, mm-hmm. going through this 2013 Bowman box right here, FST today. Come back. I want to get into some other stuff that took place in sports this week. This national anthem debate continues to rage on. NFL keeps finding out a way to put his foot in his mouth. FST, Red Felt Break. Greg, Sharon, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, will be right back.
Why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and pay half the rake on Fantasy Draft? Featuring half the rake GPP and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game, Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They're also the only site to offer 6 of 7 PGA scoring, dropping your lowest golfer score. Register today with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Lumber Liquidators is celebrating the opening of our 400th store. So we're putting over 400 floors on sale. That means huge savings for you. Get pre-finished hardwood and bamboo up to 36% off, including new styles like Mediterranean maple and bestsellers like Silverstone bamboo. Take 25% off all Dream Home laminate and 10 to 15% off our best waterproof floors. More from just 49 cents, plus special financing and professional installation. Hurry, get to your local Lumber Liquidators today.
It's Carton and Friends.
I would drug test JR. He might have been, hitting the pipe. Remember, he said he likes the pipe.
Uh-huh.
He might have been hitting that pipe before the game. He had a brain meltdown, like Chris Webber 40 years ago in the championship game, like downtown Freddie Brown years before that. And what nobody's talking about is George Hill is an 80% free throw shooter. If he makes the free throw, now what happens? Cavs are up one.
Yeah.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
All right, here we go. Back up and at them. Starting to get into some of these cards. Anything so far?
Right? Yeah, so far we got another Clint Frazier. This one would be the chrome one. Much more valuable. Got a couple inserts, but not we haven't hit the good stuff yet, which is good.
All right.
We haven't struck out.
How many autograph can you get?
You guaranteed one autograph in this product, but every couple boxes they get two.
Oh, okay.
Back then they used to do that with the hobby. Yeah. They don't do that anymore. Now, that's guaranteed. Not true. Every once in a while, mm-hmm. you'll get another one. You know, Addison Russell, wonder where he's going to get traded to.
Sharon, I'm going to read you this, and I can get both of you mm-hmm. in on this. This is a comment in the chat room.
Okay.
Vinny says, good luck getting a big judge in that box. Last year, people bought thousands of those trying to pull a judge autos. Probably hardly any left in boxes since it's 5 years old.
boxes are all about luck, so you can't say that.
Okay.
You can't get the one of one. The one of one super fractor was pulled.
My customer actually bought that for $65,000. So.
Wow.
But you know, I'm looking to get. There's so many good things.
Okay.
But you can't say that you can't pull.
You can pull a judge.
You would disagree with that statement.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Unless every judge that was printed is accounted for. Mm-hmm. You know, there are super fractors from years ago that still haven't been pulled because people are still holding product. Yeah.
People are still opening trout year boxes, and like 4 years after.
I think the super fractor of trout's out though.
Oh, no. Yeah, it just sold actually recently for $400,000.
$400,000. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
No. And you know what? It's going to be $1 million. It's probably
Derek
the most
Jeter's
iconic
rookie
card.
Just sold for
$99,000,
but that wasn't an autograph because they didn't do the autos back then. They do now.
All right, cool.
So,
if Trout is the next Mantle, you know that card is going to be worth a lot.
All right, cool. So I'm glad to hear that. So you open them up. If you're running across anything you want to talk about, just let me know.
Yeah, if I hit something, we'll step aside back to that.
All right, so here we go.
NFL. Talk about free agency. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to talk about that because I have an interesting theory on that.
Okay. NFL, a free agency or
the
grievance?
The grievance.
Colin Kaepernick's grievance.
Which would you rather talk about?
We can go to Colin Kaepernick's grievance. I don't know what free agency y'all talking about, to be honest with you.
LeBron. But we hit that.
So Colin Kaepernick's grievance comes out this week that Jerry Jones, in his deposition, said that, for the most part, this was something that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, was saying this is a situation where he needed to win. So I don't know if that win was more no Kaepernick in the NFL or make sure the players stand up so this doesn't continue to be a problem. So grievance file. Apparently, the lawyer for Colin Kaepernick, Mark Garagos, said that they still have a smoking gun out there, that this is going to be some more things in this grievance. The grievance includes Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Eric Reid also currently not signed on the team. Eric Reid in the prime of his career.
I know.
One of the best young defenders in the NFL.
I love what AB tweeted.
Yep.
AB Antonio Brown. What? Yeah,
something about like players not doing something, showing up until they're signed. That whole movement.
Yeah.
Okay.
I personally think the players should be striking on this stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
with
I think this is Donald Trump stoking this agenda because of what happened, how the NFL wouldn't let him in not once but twice, and what happened with his lawsuit with the USFL. He beat the NFL for a dollar.
He got a dollar though.
And he bankrupted the USFL because of ego. Yep. So I think this is his agenda. You know, listen, he started talking about it in a state that doesn't have a football team to get people riled up.
Yeah.
Listen,
Alabama that night, right?
Yeah, Alabama. Yeah. I respect the flag. I respect everything.
Of course.
You know, but let during the national anthem and sporting events, how many people are talking? How many people are doing it? Listen, these are athletes in the spotlight. You know, it's not the most opportune time to protest, but with the Constitution, you have the right to protest. But in a peaceful manner.
Now, the other thing about that is people say, well, if your employer, the person that's paying you, tells you to do something, you have to do it.
Okay, and I'm going to counterpoint that. You have a collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need to, you're working with a union. Mm-hmm. You're not working with an employee at will that you could tell
it's
them
like
my way
office.
The highway.
Yep.
This is a union. You want to make changes and stuff like that, you got to go to the union and get it, and it has to be approved, and especially when you have a collective bargaining agreement on what's allowed, what's not allowed, and all this other stuff.
What do you think, Sharon?
I agree with him on that. I think the players have the right to peaceful protests. And I think even if you ask some war veterans, that's what they fight for freedom, you know.
To do that.
Yeah.
I think this would have been done if Trump didn't.
I actually think he made the situation worse.
All right, let's stand down right quick. Albert Pujols.
Yeah, this is just a reprint of his rookie year card. It's not worth a lot, but it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, these are fun. They put fun cards in here too.
What's the Albert Pujols card, like a rookie year Albert Pujols card, probably worth right now?
They're like around $3,000 to $4,000.
$3,000 to $4,000. That's it.
That's not autographed though.
That's autographed.
The base
autograph. It's exactly like that.
That
card.
Base autograph. Did they number them back then?
500.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I actually think it will go up once he's in a Hall of Fame.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and that card is so hard to grade. That card used to be like, okay, if it's in great condition, it's still worth like $15,000.
Does it matter in the cards? I'm glad you brought up the Hall of Fame thing. Does it matter in the card business? when a player goes into a Hall of Fame, obviously the value of the card goes up. Mm-hmm. But if the player's like a first ballot, or if it's like, see, it does it make a difference when you get into the Hall of Fame? Like, if you're a first ballot guy, if you're a second ballot guy, or, I mean, not second ballot, but if you go in the first ballot, or if you go a couple years after, like Bernard King is just getting in now, mm-hmm. and he's been retired for years now.
Bernard King is a little different, yeah, and not all that. Yeah, the older cards are a little different.
Okay.
Because Pujols year is actually the first year that they have autographed rookie, so, and they only made 500 of those. And you're talking about one of the best out there. I think people is not appreciating him as much, but I think in 20 years, 30 years, he's still going to be considered one of the best hitter. And there's only 500 of those cards. And I think that card will actually keep going up in value.
Yeah.
Bernard King is a little different situation because he does have a lot of cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they made truckloads of those.
I guess
Just paper, you know, there's no autograph, it's just a piece of paper basically.
Oh, hold on, we got an Aaron Judge card. Here we go.
All right.
Paper rookie. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Zoom in on that one.
How much is this one?
That's like a $30
card. Yeah. You very rarely see paper cards being that expensive in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it's actually maybe a little off on the top. What do you think?
Oh, you can do they
condition if you grade it,
yeah, like these are graded, yeah, this is a 9.5 10.
If you grade this 9.5, it could get like 100.
So why can't they just make every card perfect?
It's a $1 billion question.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing that drives me up a wall more with cards than when you get that. So they have these cards that are redemption cards you get in the pack,
still not perfect.
Yeah, and the company sends them to you, or better yet, there's a product, is it encased?
Yep.
Panini came out with an encased product where you get a card that's already been graded. How do they put a card in a box that's getting an 8.5 or some...
Which is a bad grade.
Which is a bad grade. It just, you know, there's a human error to all this, but it's almost like, you know, it's a machine error, which isn't necessarily fair to the collector.
But that's what makes grading good, though. If every card is perfect, then...
If every card is perfect, then the value, you know, that's
grading
the thing.
Is not important.
You know, because there's only so many that are this level.
Okay.
That's why the Derek Jeter card went for so much.
Oh yeah, that would card have been is super hard to grade.
Yeah.
Sharon, you got an NFL team?
Yeah, Giants fan.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sorry. Are you a Cowboy fan?
I'm a Dallas Cowboy.
You look like
fan.
A Cowboy fan.
I will.
You know, he's LeBron. He likes LeBron. He likes the Cowboys. He likes the Yankees. Who do you think LeBron picked it up from? All right, we got our autograph. I don't mean to cut you off.
No problem. No, bring it in.
We got Michael Lorenzen.
All right.
Where is he now? He's pitching in the majors. Is he still on the Reds?
I'm not sure if he's with them still. But he was a top prospect.
He was a top prospect, mm-hmm. and this is his first autograph. Mm-hmm. So that's good. He's a hold. Because we don't know, you know, he's still young.
He's in the major league now. So.
He's in the major league, but he still hasn't. I don't think he's starting. I think he's in the bullpen.
Probably is.
So if he becomes a starter, mm-hmm. you know, but it's a nice looking card. We have a couple packs left, so we still mm-hmm. can get another one. So let's hope.
All right. So let me ask you about that now. Will you put that in one of those cases?
Today I will to go home.
Yeah, just to protect it.
But
I'm not sure
we're going,
in the long run, yeah.
I think the case might be more money than the autograph on some of these.
Oh, okay.
The case is $2.50. I don't know what Lorenzen's going to get.
I think it gets like probably around that.
Yeah, so more for travel purposes.
Everybody that's watching on FST on YouTube, getting ready to sign off here. Want to make sure that you check back. Make sure you subscribe so when our programs pop up. Of course, coming up behind us is the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, the BFFs to be in here. So, YouTube, we out. Continue to rock on the radio side. All right, so this is interesting now. So this is the last pack here.
Last pack. Austin Nicely. Austin Kubica.
So
Jorge Soler. Yeah, one autograph. We got a Carlos Correa. It's not his first card.
Oh, that's good.
But it's his first year, so it's a nice card.
Yeah.
Couple dollars. Preston Tucker. I didn't realize he came up with the Astros.
He did, yeah.
I didn't know that. This is...
He's playing okay. He started very good this year with the Braves.
Yeah, well, yeah. The plan was to have Markakis be the odd man out, and right now he's up
batting
in MVP conversation.
Which is wild.
I know.
But is he playing for a contract?
And maybe that's
the fantasy
what it is.
Question is, for, you know, do you hold Markakis or do you trade him?
I would move him.
You would hold him?
If I would move him. If I
would move him. You have to move him.
You know, I
Brake's not doing anything.
In league, I have extra hitting. I could use some pitching. So I've been talking to my partner about that because he's an older player who is having somewhat of a resurgence. It's not, you know, he's never been an all-star, but he's a two-time Gold Glover. He's got over 2,100 hits now. So he's, you know, he's proven his worth. But like I said, you know, I'm not trading a Nomar Mazzara or...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Starling Marte, even Adam Jones, I'm not trading, who's not playing as well to get pitching. I think you got to sell. He's a sell high guy, but I hope he keeps it up.
So now he boxed the cards up. Good job.
You could get relief pitching.
What we got next week?
Next week we're doing the World Cup, Prism World Cup, because the World Cup opens on the 7th or 14th. So that's Friday the 8th.
Yeah, next week.
So we're gonna do some World Cup stuff.
All right, that's
which
cool.
will be really exciting. Are you going to be here next Friday with us, or is?
Yeah, I don't mind.
I don't know who. Yeah. I don't know. I think Greg's back, and maybe Nando. But we'd love to.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm down.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when we do this.
Yeah, no. We probably.
You didn't eat your pickles though.
Oh yeah, I'm
hey, you can take them home.
I'm gonna take some home because
I'm not a pickle person anyway, so it's all yours.
I'm single male, so I need
all the pickle you can get.
Stop. I try to stay. I try to make sure I'm not hungry at night or whatever the case may be.
Okay, does that have anything to do with single male part? Cause I'm like...
I don't cook, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I don't cook. I'm not a cooker. I'm an eater, not a cooker.
Oh.
Do you cook?
I love to cook. I don't in my apartment because I don't have a dishwasher and my kitchen is not by a window.
All right.
My front door, which makes absolutely no sense.
Small joint?
So you order every
time? I have
time?
A small kitchen.
Yeah.
I have a big apartment with a small kitchen. Kitchen's older than me. I've gone back and forth for years about getting them to redo it. But
yeah, they haven't done it yet.
No, but it's good for cooking eggs.
All right.
Stuff like that.
I can fry a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I don't want to fry anything because it stinks my whole apartment up. I have no window.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, like, you can't, but
I'm on the garden level of like a brownstone.
Oh, okay.
So, what?
You got a barbecue in the backyard?
No, it's crazy that you mentioned that, though. The dude in the next apartment. The other day, as he opened up his door, opened up my door, he has a backyard. I'm like, how'd you get a backyard?
You don't have anything in this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they pay a premium for that, probably.
Oh, definitely. Probably. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he has a dog, too, so I'm quite sure.
Okay. I love a backyard for a barbecue and my dog.
I would love to have a backyard. I love barbecue.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, if you had a barbecue in your backyard, we could go there for a little cookout show.
That would be wonderful. We could have did that, but the problem is... See, when you and what you said about the sense, when you, I haven't installed the AC yet, but on the ground level, on the garden level, you open up the window, everything from the street.
Just
anybody that's walking by, you know what I'm saying, if they're smoking or doing whatever, all that comes in when the window's open. Yeah. That sucks right there.
Look, I'm lucky. My building is a Chinese restaurant downstairs, and if you're in the back of the building, you get that.
All the time,
I'm on the front. I get more noise.
Yeah.
But I'll take the little more noise over
the
smells.
Yeah.
Okay. BFF's coming up next. You ever watch their program? They do a good job.
Yes, they do a great job.
I'm a BFF guy. Sussman's in Europe.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures.
Good for him. Yeah. You know, he works hard. He should have a nice vacation.
You're not a Europe guy?
I would like to be a Europe guy. I've never been. He goes to Europe 3 or 4 times a year, though. Sussman.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he's a big... yeah.
He's a foodie, too.
No, and Sussman is a foodie also.
Yeah.
So, shout out. He'll be back. But I'm down to do the box, the breaks with y'all, because I like the red, and I like you guys, to be honest
good.
With you. And you're a stand-up guy, too.
Oh.
The sergeants,
God only
too.
Knew that bringing a pastrami sandwich.
No, right?
I would have done it with a lot of other people a lot earlier in life.
How about that? So we got two things that we good with today, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. That's what's up. So that's about $70.
From your mouth to God's ears.
All right. There you go, right there. This is pretty cool. Oh boy.
How much is the box?
I'm in improv mode now.
Yeah, I paid $300 for the box.
Ooh.
Win some, you lose some.
It happens.
Yeah, it's like anything in life.
You paid $300 for the box. All right. So, yeah, I feel you on that one.
You know, I took a haircut, but... it's like the old... I could have done worse.
That's true.
I could have done worse. I could have gotten an autograph of a guy who's not in the league and no Judge, no Frazier, none of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. So, you're right. No, you take it how you get it, my man. I don't blame you.
You
got
to be in it to win it, like the old lottery commercial.
How about Josh Hader?
Well, that happens. Let me ask you a question.
Good prospect.
Somebody, my man, the All-In kid, Jake Sidley, made an excellent point earlier this week. I want to see if you, with your, you guys' opinion on it. There's no bad teams in the NFC. If you think about the NFC,
let's go through it.
Yeah,
I don't think the Giants are a good team.
Are they a 3-13, 4-12 team now?
Pro Football Focus on one of those things. They did a thing. They were 5-11.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're a 5-8 potentially. Yeah,
I don't think they're a good team. I think that they have the potential to be okay, but I don't think they're a good team. I also don't think that the Bears are a good team.
The Bears are much improved this year.
Much improved, yeah. But I want to, Trubisky, you know, second.
They brought a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach. It was more offensive mind. Trubisky couldn't make a jump this year like Goff made a jump last year.
Okay, I'll get, if he does, then they're different. What about Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay was a team that Tampa people were Bay, picking but... to win the NFC South
Is
last year.
Is it really?
Year. They,
oh,
were,
last year,
last year,
yeah.
People were picking them to win the NFC South.
Yeah. Well, it depends on Jameis. He needs to, you know, mature up a little bit.
I don't think Seattle's that good either. Seattle can go either way. I think they're on their way. They're getting rid of the Legion of Boom. They took that kid Penny in the first round, which
Penny
everyone
can play.
Reached for the first round.
Yeah, they're very good front office, though, so I like their drafting. They're very good at drafting prospects.
On my bookie, the app, to win the NFC, to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, the Seahawks are plus 1,200. That's a team with Russell Wilson on it.
That's true.
And you go right
there. Did they fix the O-line?
They had some data, some pieces on the offensive line. Yeah. FST, about to get ready to get out of here. The BFF's coming up next. I'm Sharon and Greg. I'm Corey, the Fantasy Executive. We'll be back next week right here on